Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. Our guest today is Otto Penzler, and Otto has recently gone through a major change in his life, and to get the information on the new Mysterious Bookshop, go to the website. I have a link there that you can click onto and find out the phone numbers, address, all that kind of stuff, so we won't go through that in the interview. But it is all available on the website. So first of all, Otto, did you survive the move?
Well, yeah, we were in the same place for 28 years in Midtown Manhattan on 56th Street, and moving all of those books, which turned out, as we learned, to be 950 cartons, each carton holding somewhere between 40 and 50 books, was a massive undertaking. I thought it was going to be terrible, and it was. But I moved into a new place down in Tribeca, which is a very cool part of New York, and it's twice as big.
Oh,
and
really?
So there's lots of shelf space for the books, and more books can be on display for my customers. So we're pretty happy down here.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I know when you're moving the type of books that you were moving, you have to be careful. It's not like you can't just throw them in a box and, and schlep them down the stairs.
No, a lot of the mystery fiction that we carry here are for collectors, first editions, in dust jacket and so on. And, I try to tell the movers, think of these as Fabergé eggs, because if you damage them or tear the dust jacket, a book can very quickly go from $100 to $20 just because of a little bit of damage.
Exactly, exactly. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you survived the move, I'm looking forward to seeing the store when I come visit in December. So that'll be fun, and I'm glad that I didn't realize that you were taking that much more space. That's exciting.
It is, one thing I've learned too. I've always been a sort of Midtown guy because that's where I worked, and that's where my bookshop was for so many years. But being down here, I'm telling you, it's like being in a little village in Kansas or Alabama, because the people are friendlier than in Midtown. They seem to have more time. It's a real neighborhood, and we're surrounded by the best restaurants in the city. All news to me. I sound like an old time fan of the neighborhood, but I'm not. I've just been here for a couple of months, but I'm absolutely in love with it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Otto, one of the things I wanted to accomplish today is to give people some holiday ideas for the book lovers on their lists. And so one of the things, let's talk about, is the Best American Mystery Stories of 2005, which I think is a fabulous collection, and I think it makes a wonderful gift. And Joyce Carol Oates was the editor this year. And tell us a little bit, if you will, about that collection this year and what you're happiest about with it.
The collection, I think, is one of the strongest we've ever had. Joyce Carol Oates has a very literary taste, but it's not so elevated or rarefied that she doesn't understand that there's nothing like a really good story. And she didn't pick a bunch of obscure writing that was abstruse and difficult. She picked some of the finest literature that's being written today, and it happens to be in the mystery field. The one story that we both thought, both agreed, was the best story in the book was a rare short story by Scott Turow. An absolutely brilliant story, and I think Scott should be working hard on some more short stories because he really is good at it. In fact, curiously enough, and it is a coincidence, Scott Turow is going to be the guest editor for next year's Best American Mystery Stories.
Oh, really? Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, when I read his story, there was a twist in there that just blew my mind, and I just loved it.
Yeah, and a wonderful story, too, by Dennis Lehane.
Yes.
Who I just admire so much as a writer, and he's been working on his new novel for a couple of years. He's not a fast writer, and I think he takes a break every now and then from the struggles of a long novel to write a short story, and he's a master at it. And the one that he wrote that we picked for this book is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Laura Lippman has a terrific story in it George V. Higgins, who is unhappily no longer with us. He passed away. But there was a collection of his short stories published posthumously. And Joyce and I had a real struggle. We each had our favorite story, and my rule for the book is that only one story per person. And she was the guest editor, so she won. But the reviews, which have been uniformly great on this book, I have to say, although it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back.
No, it's an excellent book.
The truth is the truth. Have singled out that story by George V. Higgins frequently, so I suspect Joyce was right.
Yeah. And Otto, I'd like to ask you a question, because I had a guest on my show last week, Scott Wolven, and I've just been I don't think I've read a short story writer with the impact that Scott Wolven has in a long, long time, and he's been in four collections in a row now. And what is it about Scott Wolven, you think, that draws the guest editors to select him 4 years in a row?
You know, it's interesting. I feel, in a way, like I've discovered Scott Wolven, you know, because he was writing most of his short stories on e-zines, electronic magazines. And I found this guy and suggested to my guest editor, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago, but, like, take a close look at this story. And he's been in virtually every book since. He and Christopher Koch, who was in last year's book, are two of the most extraordinary young writers working in the crime field, although they do write other things. There's a power to the prose that very, very few writers bring to the form.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're younger than others, they just have a rare ability to engage the readers, even if you don't always love the characters that you're dealing with, which is mostly true in the case of Scott Wolven.
Yeah.
Really tough guys, tough people, but with a powerful prose style.
Yeah, and Barracuda in this year's collection is just, it's a classic.
Anybody who will listen to me, because this guy is a special case.
Yeah, I agree. And then another book I wanted to mention, which I think if people are looking for a book to buy for somebody that likes to put their feet up by the fire and read, is Ash and Bone by John Harvey.
John Harvey is a name who is not yet a household name, but I hope, I truly hope that he will be someday. He's a British writer of police novels, and Ash and Bone is the second in a series, the first of which was Flesh and Blood, which are so beautifully written. He is a poet and has published many books of poetry, and somehow you can tell when a writer understands language and uses language poetically, he's not only a fiction writer, but he brings the poetry to his prose, just as when he writes poems, he brings storytelling to the poems.
And I'd also like to recommend Lonely Hearts, a Charlie Resnick novel, which is just an extraordinary book.
Well, John Harvey wrote 10 books in the Resnick series, which was set in Nottingham, and now he has this new series, which, as much as I love the Resnicks and I think they're brilliant, I think the two new books in this series are even better. Not because only because the mysteries are really good, which they are, but they're so beautifully written. Life, looking at life as a slightly older man with a daughter who he set up to catch a criminal, and she was brutally raped and badly hurt. And in the second book, that happens in the first book, and in the second book, as he tries to regain her trust and her love, it's so beautifully written. It tears your heart apart.
Yeah, I cannot recommend that one strongly enough. I just thought it was just a piece of literary art, and I noticed on the back of the dust jacket, Michael Conley said that John Harvey writes the way we all wish we could.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, if Michael Conley says that,
it's true. And Elmore Leonard compares him to Graham Greene.
Yeah.
The Denver Post says he writes crime novels better than anybody in the world.
What about the Lincoln Lawyer? I think that's a book I think that people would enjoy as a gift for a reader, because it was a kind of a sea change from Michael Connelly, but I thought it worked brilliantly.
I got to tell you, Casey, if somebody doesn't like the Lincoln Lawyer, there's something wrong with them. I hate to use this kind of language on your show, but I did look at Amazon.com, and there were 72 people who wrote and reviewed that book. 72. All 72 of them gave it 5 stars.
Wow.
It's just unimaginable.
Yeah, that is.
There's always going to be taste, and it's subjective, and things that you love, I may not love, and vice versa. 72 people, every one of which gave it the highest rating possible. This is a legal thriller that was written by a guy who writes police novels. He's never written a legal thriller before. He's not a lawyer. But it turns out that he met a guy at a Dodger game, sat next to a guy who was the Lincoln Lawyer. Lincoln, by the way, does not refer to Abraham Lincoln. It refers to a guy who works out of his Lincoln Town Car, does most of his work in the Lincoln Town Car. And he got to talking to this guy and was just fascinated by him and thought that this could be a story. And he wound up hanging out at a bar, Michael Connelly did, in Los Angeles, where defense lawyers meet at the end of the day to tell their stories and wind down from the day. And Mike picked up more interesting inside information on the law than most lawyers pick up in law school, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And with this one, you have to be a little patient, because it works its way into it, and then, I don't know, somewhere around page 70 or 75, it takes off, and from there it was just... I mean, it is really something. It is.
It's a book that starts in one direction, and you think you kind of know where it's going, and then it suddenly does an abrupt turn, and boy, it's like fasten your seatbelt.
Yeah, and you know, and we are going to see the two protagonists together. Michael told me it's not going to be in the next book; it's going to be in the book after that.
Right.
But I was just so impressed that he could start a new series like that. It's such a high quality. It's just amazing.
It took my breath away. I thought there were 3 books that I thought were tied for the best book of the year. And Lincoln Lawyer was one of them. The John Harvey was the other. And, of course, Thomas Cook's Red Leaves was the third.
Yeah. Otto, what other books do you recommend for readers this Christmas season?
Well, something a little bit out of the ordinary, there is a third volume of the annotated Sherlock Holmes. There are now 3 books altogether which cover the entire 56 short stories and 4 novels. And they're big, beautiful books in a slipcase published by W.W. Norton, which is a very classy publishing house, with thousands of annotations and illustrations, maps that enhance the reading of the Sherlock Holmes stories like nothing else that you could possibly imagine. Whether you're a beginner reading Sherlock Holmes for the first time, or you're an old fan who have read the stories 3 times and think there's nothing else for you to learn, the annotated Sherlock Holmes is something that'll just be the major book on your bookshelf for the rest of your life.
Okay. Yeah, I knew too. I didn't realize that the third one had been published. That's great.
Yep, it's now the series is complete.
Oh, that's wonderful. Anything else in the general mystery category that you're particularly pleased with?
Yeah, it's a little bit older now. It's no longer a fresh new book because it came out earlier in the year. But one of the books that stuck in my memory as being so wonderfully written, and again, you know, as much as I love crime fiction, mystery fiction, which is what I read virtually all the time, I really like it when a book brings more to it. Great, you want a detective, you want the crime, you want to get it solved, you want to do all of the things that you do, and it's why we read mystery fiction. But I like more. I like it when characters come to life, when you see the sensitivity and decency or the lack of it in the major characters and so on. And Robert Craze, who wrote The Forgotten Man, this year have just pulled off a beautiful, beautiful story where a man who claims to be his father, who abandoned the family when he was a young child, is dying in an alley, and he claims to be Elvis Cole's father. And Cole rushes to him too late. Then he does an examination to see if it's possible that this man was his father, a man that he had spent a lot of years looking for. It's a beautiful book.
Excellent. Yeah, and Robert Cray, I just love his work.
Yeah, I do too. All of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think the new P.D. James is excellent. You know, she's 85 years old.
Is that right? 85. I didn't know she was 85.
And she still writes with a clarity of prose that very, very few people can manage. A wonderful, wonderful piece of work.
That's excellent to read as well.
Oh, you know what's fun? There's a little book that came out. It's by Raymond Chandler. It's essentially Life Lessons or the Wit and Wisdom of Philip Marlowe. And what it is it's a little stocking stuffer of a book that takes quotations from the works of Chandler on a variety of subjects like politics and women, sex, money, things like that, and gathers them under subject headings. And, you know, going back and picking out the best lines from Raymond Chandler is great fun, because nobody wrote better lines than he did.
No. And how do you spell the author's name there, Otto? I'm not familiar with that.
Chandler?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Whoever put the compilation together.
His name isn't on the cover.
Oh, okay.
It's really, it's Philip Marlowe and Raymond Chandler. That's what you'll find on the cover.
Oh, okay, great. Great, wonderful. The thing with Hardcore Brace, the John Harvey is the new release. What's coming next in the series?
In the series from John Harvey, you mean?
No, I'm sorry, from the series with Hardcore Brace.
Just out now, I think within the last 2 days, is a book called The Female of the Species. By Joyce Carol Oates.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is a short story collection in which the protagonists are all women, and they're all dangerous.
Okay.
And boy, I'll tell you, a couple of them will chill you to the bone. I don't know how she does it, but she could scare me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, well, good. So that's released and should be in the stores in time for Christmas.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's great. Beautiful. Yes. Beautiful. Well, Otto, thank you so much for your time. And for the listeners, you can go to the website, click on the homepage, themysteriousbookshop.com. It has all the new information on it. And Otto, I look forward to seeing the new store, and I hope that that all the listeners stop in and visit around Christmas time, because it'll be exciting to see what you've done with the new store.
Thank you so much, Casey. I look forward to seeing you down here, and I'll show you the neighborhood a little bit.
Sounds good. Well, you have a happy holiday.
Thank you.
Thanks, Otto.
Merry Christmas.